This is Rain Classic Hamcast number 44 for June 26th, 2021. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. As we slog our way through solar cycle 25, is HF ham band propagation improving? One positive indicator is the 10-meter FM repeater subband. I suspect some of you are wondering, 10-meter repeaters? Well, there are 10 repeater pairs spaced 10 kHz apart from 29.610 to 29.690 MHz. The input for each pair is 100 kHz down. If you have ever seen a set of 2-meter duplexers, you can readily understand why your average 10-meter FM repeater is set up with separate transmit and receive sites. One such repeater is the KQ2H Catskills Mountains FM repeater on 29.620 MHz. Its trustee is Alex Musica, KQ2H, a resident of the hamlet of Kerhonkson, New York. Rains Hapali, KC9RP, spoke to Alex via Zoom in early June about Alex's 17 multi-site mountaintop repeaters, specifically his 29.620 MHz 10-meter FM repeater located in Upper New York State.
Good evening.
This is KQ2H 10-meter repeater.
Tell me where the KQ2H 10-meter repeater is located.
Wurtsboro, New York. That's the transmitter. The south receiver is about 60 miles southeast of Wurtsboro. North receiver would be northwest of Wurtsboro by about 50 miles or so. There's 17 repeaters. Not every one of them is 10 meters. Most of them are actually UHF, 440 megahertz band or 70 centimeters. There's no amateur equipment. Equipment that was originally used not on 440 megahertz, but on 460 or so, and it was retuned and repurposed for 440 megahertz.
Your 900 meg equipment?
Same thing, old Motorola radios that were reprogrammed into the ham band, FM links. Nothing special, nothing high tech. However, it is reliable and it works, and I've been using it for years and have no need to change anything.
You have some real challenges on 10 meters that you don't have on VHF, UHF. 100 kilohertz separation between the input and the output. What are you using for your 10FM transmitter?
The 10FM transmitter is a mixture of different parts. It's some GE radio, some Motorola, all cobbled together.
What kind of power output is it?
The transmitter is the legal limit, 1500.
And is it located on a mountaintop as well?
Yes, it is.
And that's in the Catskill Mountains?
Correct.
What kind of power levels are you having to use for your remote receive sites to the transmitter?
The radio links from mountaintop to mountaintop, these directional antennas for very low power, 5 watts or less.
Are they all on mountaintops?
Yes, probably the lowest bound, maybe 2,000 feet elevation, and the highest being 3,400, 3,500 feet elevation, pretty much in that range. There were no commercial antennas available that could handle the wind loading and Mother Nature on top of a tower, on top of a mountain. The weather was brutal, so there were some mechanical problems and issues, so an antenna had to be made that would handle that. And the other problem was, even if there were antennas that were physically strong enough to handle the environment, they were not strong enough to handle nonstop, continuous, legal limit FM signal, a carrier present pretty much all day and throughout most of the night. And there are a lot of failures and parts melting and blowing up inside. So antenna had to be constructed that could handle that aspect of it as well. That solution came in basically a homebrew design. It's been probably a good 20 years that the homebrew antennas have been up, have not had a single issue or problem with them since.
With over 2,663 minutes of BS, this is KQ2H repeater.
Did you design both the receive and transmit antennas?
Yes, I did.
You have any kind of write-ups about those antennas?
No, but there's a picture of me on my Facebook page that shows me standing next to one of the homebrew antennas.
What makes them so much more weather durable than others that are on the market?
Well, they're constructed with aluminum, much heavier, much thicker than most commercially made antennas are, and they probably weigh about 70 pounds, if not more. A pretty heavy antenna for what it is. The half-wave coaxial dipole, it's vertical. Nothing special about it other than the fact that it's heavy duty and there's a step transmission line inside the feed point so that it matches 50 ohms to 75, whatever the impedance is of a dipole. I think the antennas last time I swept them had a 1.03:1 SWR, so we're pretty happy with that. They're fed with the heavy hard line, Heliax. They're designed to handle power as well, besides being rugged. They are designed to be reliable.
Obviously, all this equipment, repurposed or otherwise, costs a few bucks. Are those out of pocket, or do you have some help from outside?
Nobody helps. This is all old equipment that I acquired, retired basically from what it was being used and repurposed for 440 megahertz or 900. It's basically all junk parts.
How is it that you wanted to tie in 17 repeaters into your 10 FM repeater?
So I could actually use it wherever I travel. I do a lot of driving all over the place, and sometimes I travel as far as 200 miles or so. Naturally, I like to have a radio system that I can use on my travels, and it attracts people in areas that are rural and normally would not have a repeater, and they're very fortunate to have something, or at least they tell me they can actually use from rural areas that normally don't have repeaters. Or if they do, it's some kind of a club and it's very restrictive and very limiting and no one to talk to, and it's no fun anyways. They find 10 meters sort of interesting, breath of fresh air, so to speak.
I hardly ever get in on this band here, and I and I seen that 6 meters was going crazy, so I said, well, 10's got to be going, doing something. So I said, well, what the hell, I might as well just roll up on the FM portion up here, see if repeaters are ka-chunking. So I heard you in there, so I figured I better try it out. But I didn't have my radio set up right here, and I didn't know if there was a tone on this or not.
This repeater does have a PL frequency of 146.2.
Correct.
And yet, a lot of the communications from 10 meters is non-PL.
That's unfortunate, because I have one receiver that doesn't require a PL tone to activate, and people can try or get on, and hopefully they would turn the PL tone on so they could get into the other sites. But most of them do not, and they don't have the advantage of a voted system. So their signal is subject to fade. It doesn't vote into anything else, which is unfortunate.
You're listening to a conversation with Alex Musica, KQ2H. Trustee of the 29.620 10-meter FM mountaintop repeater located in the Catskill Mountains of Upper New York State. We'll resume Hap Holly KC9RP's conversation with Alex in a moment. This is Rain Classic Hamcast number 44 for June 26th, 2021. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
It's 2021. There shouldn't be a radio out there that doesn't generate a PL tone. There's really no excuse to not have it. You go on eBay, there are commercial low-band radios that are being sold under $100 or so, and they all work extremely well. They're designed to operate FM. They have PLs. They have noise blankers. Pretty much from my experimentation, they put to shame every amateur-grade type radio for 10 meters FM. And yet people don't like to run PL for some reason. They'll get on and operate without it. So that is probably the main reason why I have one receiver that way. By using a fully PL system, it would completely cut out 3/4 of the users out there. For some reason, they will not run PL. You tell them, they can't figure it out. They don't know how to use it. Some don't even know how to do the 100 kilohertz split on the output. Repeater's been there for 30 years. PL has never changed. But yet, to this day, you have people that refuse to use PL. That's unfortunately the sad truth. There are those that complain, well, how come your repeater's not PL? That causes interference, this, that, whatever. That's not my fault. If you have 3/4 of the people don't want to use it, can't use it, or don't know how to use it, there really is no option other than just cutting them out by engaging that, activating it at all the receiver sites. If I had all the receivers open to a carrier squelch operation, each one would then pick up some kind of a noise, and there would be nonstop, continuous keying up from, let's say, RF generators. The ones in the countries that have the 50 hertz AC power, you'll hear either a 100 hertz buzz or a 300 hertz buzz, depending if it's a single phase or three phase power supply. Then you have the RF generators that are in the 60 hertz country, the 120 or a 360 hertz buzz. And when their press head is doing its job, the RF generator activates and you hear the sound. That's all I'll get day and night when the band is open from DX. One receiver, I think, will keep enough people going. If they're interested, they'll turn the PL tone on. And of course, their signals greatly improve because as they fade from one receive location, they fade into another and they will vote back and forth automatically. So that actually does work very well. Now, put PL tone on every receiver. Then what it would do is the guys that don't have PL tone still won't get it. They will not use it. And another repeater will then pop up on the same frequency somewhere else, and it will be in carrier squelch, and it'll be keyed up all day and all night with noise, and that's what will happen. There's a band opening, there'll be some interference, some noise, but usually things work out and there are no issues.
It's really a no-win situation for you.
With 10 meters, no, that's how it is. It's either you'll have a gray repeater that's open, a lot of people will use it, as it's been the case last sunspot cycle. There was about 90 days where we had F propagation from Europe, the Middle East, down to Texas. I mean, it was nonstop activity from 6 o'clock in the morning till sometimes midnight. Somebody would be talking to someone across the country, across the world. It was very interesting, to say the least.
Hey, Alex, extremely talented man, and he's got a lot of time and money into Cat just jumped on me and used his claws into this repeater system. I appreciate the use of his repeaters very much.
The times I've worked into your machine, I've heard and have spoken to Ellen, AA2EC, for the interest of many who have spoken with her. How long has she been involved with the repeater?
I would say at least a year. She's been active on there, maybe a little bit longer. She's not a relative of mine, but she's been on a repeater long enough, and we speak to each other often enough.
She communicates well. She seems to be there a lot, and that's great. That gives the repeater some personality and somebody to talk to.
Yes, that's greatly appreciated. For some of us, including myself, I don't have the time to drop what I'm doing and get on and chase the DX station. She will, and she'll welcome them and be pleasant and basically invite them to come on again. It's a very nice thing that she does, trying to work with DX the way she does.
If you don't have the PL tone, if you can put a PL tone in your radio, please go ahead and put in the 146.2, 146.2. I'm not sure if it's the band or you not having the PL tone in there, but you're not holding on to the repeater that well. So November 9, Bravo Alpha Foxtrot, Alpha Alpha 2 Echo Charlie in the beautiful Upper Hudson Valley of New York.
And what do you do for your livelihood, sir?
At the moment, I work in public safety communications, two-way radio. This is something that I've been doing for the past 10 years or so. Prior to this, I was a broadcast engineer for a TV station in the city. My home away from home was World Trade Center and the Empire State Building.
30 years ago, when you put your 10-meter repeater on the air, what motivated you to go that route?
Well, that's very simple. 10 meters FM was always my favorite mode. Ever since I got my Comtronix FM80, the Comtronix FM80 was, you know, if I remember correctly, it was a little plastic, like a CB radio. It wasn't anything spectacular. QRP, by today's standard, piece of garbage, but it was the first radio I had. I remember the little analog S meter and tuning in stations on the calling frequency and then tuning in repeaters that were all over the place, mostly the Texas area. And there was another repeater later on, several years after, I continued listening to the Virgin Islands. In any event, all of these sounded very interesting. It was a band that I enjoyed back then. I wanted to set up a repeater, because if I set up a remote base, let's say on the calling frequency, I would be rebroadcasting and transmitting a lot of traffic that shouldn't really be there. So I figured, let me just start right off the bat and do it correctly and use a repeater pair rather than the calling frequency to play with 10 meters FM.
You're not holding the repeater. If you can hear me and you can put a PL tone in the program there, please put 146.2. If you can't put a PL tone in there, I understand. We're just not going to make a great contact tonight. Alpha Alpha 2, Echo Charlie, monitoring KC2H.
And that concludes our first of two excerpts from Hap Holly, KC9RP's interview with Alex Musica, KQ2H, the man and mind behind the 29.620 10-meter FM repeater in Upper New York's Catskill Mountains. We'll conclude their conversation next time. Rain Classic Hamcast number 45 will post July 10th, 2021 on therainreport.com. The Rain Classic Hamcast is produced by its founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP. Copyright 1985-2021 Rain. All rights reserved. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license and may be transmitted in its entirety on amateur radio. Very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming.